I really debated today's lesson. I have to be honest with you. I thought, boy, am I going to overshoot the wad? I should keep this for Pentecost Sunday. Not really, because this happened before Pentecost Sunday. So you're going to get the old Pentecost line on Pentecost Sunday, and this morning you're going to hear about Damascus Road. How many of you remember the story from the New Testament and Paul's journey on the Damascus Road? I remember hearing that in Sunday school and thinking, boy, is that great. I'm going to go to Damascus sometime. Haven't been there yet. But anyway, the wonder of the story and the beautiful part of the story is that Paul, if he hadn't gone on the Damascus Road and had that incident where God really made himself known in a pretty powerful way, we wouldn't be here today. How's that? Because the Damascus Road changed Paul, actually Saul to Paul. That's what happened. And Christianity for the Gentiles, that's us, was born. Not everybody was in favor of it. Remember, it was a little known religious group just saddled around Jerusalem and around Israel. And all of a sudden, because of Paul, later on, it grew and grew and grew. Now, can all of us have an experience like that on a Damascus Road? I don't know. Later on, I did drive to Damascus in Pennsylvania. Maybe it was the wrong season. But that didn't happen. But this story, open your Bibles. This is a dandy. And that's a good one for us when we gather at the communion table to think about not only Paul changing his whole lifestyle and his outlook about what was true and what was good and what was loving to what he became. The 9th chapter of Acts, reading verse 1 through 20. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Kind of sounds like today's newspaper, doesn't it? As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Well, the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing, so they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias!" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Now, you know, Paul's day of reckoning, that's what this is. He became an apostle. He became an apostle after the Damascus Road experience, after it was over. Remember, the Lord told Ananias that Paul was going to suffer in my name. But you know, at this stage in his new career, Paul had no idea how much he was really going to suffer in the name of Jesus Christ for all that he was about to undertake in all of that world. And all of that world at that time was the Roman Empire. He was going to suffer. And he had to learn that he would be, because he accepted Jesus Christ, he'd be paying the price. Paying the price just to be a follower. Just to be a follower. After Damascus, we can project his maturity in Christ. And the time frame probably was less than 20 years. 17 is what some experts say that it took for Paul to mature into Christ. He spent 3 years in Arabia. He spent 14 years in Cilicia. We don't know how many years or months he spent in other parts of what we would call Asia Minor or the Roman Empire for that matter. But I'm sure he spent some time during all of this in reflection, and I think he probably was in discussion, I don't doubt that at all, with some of the early Christians and some who knew Jesus Christ personally from his ministry. And I'm sure it was a growing time for him, those 17 years. It was all that it took to prepare him for the credibility that became his when we know the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the way, followers of the way, began to grow throughout the world. Now he would pay the price indeed by accepting Christ as Savior, because in the next 20, 25 years he endured floggings, he endured imprisonment, he endured shipwrecks, he endured hunger, he endured exposure, slander, betrayal, even from those closest to Jesus Christ, for what he was doing. And these awful conditions were an essential part of his witness because of Damascus Road. You know, all of us, I said earlier, would love a Damascus Road experience to meet the Lord. All of us would like to have one of those startling moments where everything happened and it would continue. Because really, the Damascus Road experience for Paul continued throughout the rest of his life. Wouldn't we love to have it happen to us? But you know, God really has, I'm convinced, given each one of us a vision. At some time in your life, in mine, I know, God gives a little twerk, a little perk. Perhaps it was that evening you were alone and you were reading a scripture and something kind of snapped inside you. Maybe it was that moment in a quiet corner, or maybe out in the yard, and you offered a prayer and some kind of a feeling touched you. Maybe it was a church camp. Maybe it was Sunday school. Maybe it was a sermon that you heard, I hope. Maybe it was a friend who offered you a word. Maybe it was a beautiful painting that touched you in such a way that it brought tears to your eye. And you felt something closer to God than ever before. Perhaps it was in the birth of a child. Perhaps it was in a marriage. Perhaps it was at a funeral that God touched you. Touched you. In any and all of these experiences, you have more than enough inspiration to love and serve Jesus Christ. You do. And it happens to all of us. We, like Paul, must labor and struggle for our faith. It doesn't come easy. Serving Jesus Christ never came easy to him, and it never comes easy to us, and it never comes easy to any Christian, any place in the world now. What labor and struggle do I have in mind as a preacher? I think to all of us, the easiest thing is there. And you probably do it and don't know you're doing it. It's daily prayer. The moment or moments that you spend talking things over with God, with no interruption from anyone else, I suggest taking the time to read Scripture. It's amazing, after how many years of going to the same barber, and that barber always asks me something about Scripture. And of course, you know I have the Bible memorized. I used to joke when someone would ask me a question about Scripture, and I'd say, oh, Hezekiah 16. There's no such animal as Hezekiah, but usually somebody else will say, oh, is that the Old or New Testament? I say, that was the one in between. Oh. No. Maybe it's going to be in your sharing worship. Maybe it's volunteering for a church program. Maybe it's... That's that struggle I'm talking about. That's that labor for love of Lord. And you know, I'll tell you the truth. Practicing such disciplines, that prayer, a time for meditation, time to read the Scripture, a time to reflect, you're going to find that it transforms other areas of your lives as well. Our obligations to care for the body of Christ, Christ's body, the family, the church. But involved in that is also for what you do to other people. That's caring for you and caring for what you do and how you live. That's a struggle, isn't it? That's the struggle that gives you a new birth of purpose, as we really think about what it means to have a vocation for God in Jesus Christ. Like Paul, we find that at times it means paying the price. Paying the price for discipleship. Paying the price for witness. Paying the price for taking up a cross. Of varying degrees to follow Jesus Christ. That's the demand. And it's interesting. When you think about the demand and how simple it is, perhaps it'll be this morning when you take the cup and you think that this is Christ's blood poured out for many for forgiveness, for renewal, for refreshment. Perhaps when you take the bread and you look at that little piece of bread and you think, of Priscilla's labor of love in preparing it, of God's blessing upon it, because this is Christ all torn apart. And think about Paul walking on a road to Damascus and getting struck down blind. I've got a job for you to do, Jesus said. And Jesus is still saying it to every single one of us, regardless of age. I've got a job for you to do in my name.